Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of the Street Photography Show podcast. On tonight's show, I have the opportunity and the privilege to speak with Noah Penner. Noah is based in Niagara, Ontario, and is a film-loving street photographer who, like many others, took up photography during the pandemic. Definitely stick around. You're going to like this one. Welcome to the Street Photography Show. Noah, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Mark?
Awesome. Thanks so much for agreeing to do this. I really appreciate it, and I really look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me as well. Thanks for having me on.
Noah, tell our listeners, how did you get into photography? When did you first pick up a camera? How did it all happen for you?
Yeah, so I kind of started when I was in high school, just walking around to taking pictures with my phone. And it was all just phone photography that I did for fun. You know, there's some pretty light, a cool car drives by. And I didn't really think much of it until I made a friend through the car community who was really into film when I was about 19. And, you know, started hanging out with him and started seeing some of the photos he was getting with, you know, his old Minolta. I think it was an X700. And thinking, man, this is really cool. I want to get into this. And so, you know, he helped me out, took me to buy my first camera, actually, an XG1 back then. And yeah, just haven't really slowed down since.
So you mentioned that you when you were 19. So now how long has it been that you've been photographing?
I'm 22 now. So I've been taking photos with a real camera for 3 years now.
And so you're using film, right? Which is really neat because a lot of guys your age don't start with film. They start with digital. So are you still shooting predominantly film? Have you added a digital to the mix?
Yeah, so actually, the first day of this year, I saw a deal for a Mark I Olympus EM5 on Marketplace, and I went and picked it up. So there's one post on my feed as of now that's captured digitally, but other than that, it's all 35mm.
I think you shoot a lot of color, if I'm not mistaken now. I'd have to look at your Instagram feed. What kind of film stocks are you using? Like, do you have any preferred color film stocks, or is it whatever you can get your hands on? How do you approach that?
It's a bit of both, really. Like, I love whatever I can get my hands on. You know, it's hard to find film these days, especially, you know, where I am. To get most professional film stocks, I have to get in the car, drive to the train station, and then get on a train to Toronto. So I've been shooting a lot of Fuji 400, just Walmart Fuji 400, and actually really been loving the color reproduction and the texture that gives. And then when I can get my hands on it, I love shooting some Cinestill 800 as well, just with the low light flexibility. I find it's if I'm going out to shoot for the day, or if I'm just going out for friends, I want to have that film stock with me. I know I'm going to be covered early in the day, throughout the day when the sun goes down.
Have you ever shot with cinema film like Vision 250, like the Kodak Vision series? Have you ever shot those?
I have not. I would love to. I just haven't got my hands on it yet.
You know what? Remind me after the show. I'll send you a little present. I'll send you a couple of rolls of Vision. I have them. Normally what I do is I buy bulk and then I spool them down. I think what's happening right now amongst film shooters is because the cost of film has gone through the roof, a lot of people, not everybody, but there are a lot of photographers now that are taking bulk cinema film like Vision. And a lot of people will purchase the 400 spool rolls, or they'll also go on eBay and they'll find the, I think they're called end cuts, and they're usually like 100 feet. Last time I bought it, I went on eBay and I bought like 160-foot end cut roll. And I made, I think from that, I was able to get 18 rolls on 35mm cartridges. Something to consider. They tend to be cheaper when you work it out. You can develop them in C41, but they really shine if you do the NC2 process. You need to find a lab that can take the remjet off. You bring your stuff to the lab, right?
Yeah, I bring my rolls to Downtown Camera in Toronto.
They can do the ECN2 process and they will remove the remjet for you. By the way, if you're going into Toronto and you're going down to Downtown Camera to drop off your film, there's another lab that just opened up. This is just a heads up. And even for the listeners that are from that area, there is another lab on Spadina. I think it's called Grain Nation. I've spoken with a few of my friends who've gone there already, and they say that the processing, the quality, everything is really good. So you might want to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Next time I'm in the city, I'll stop by.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's called Grain Nation Labs. If you just Google it, it should pop up. But I can also send you a link. Let me ask you this. So you haven't been shooting very long. I'm just curious, you're 19, you're 22 now. So did it start like around COVID? Did you start shooting around COVID time?
I'd say I got my camera 5 months before the lockdowns happened, which was really funny. So I remember, like, you know, hanging out with that friend of mine who kind of got me into film and going around shooting with him and going to different camera shops and seeing, like, you know, no one's really interested in these old cameras. Like, there's never a lineup to get my film developed, you know, and then going into shops after COVID and just seeing how many people kind of because of the pandemic and looking for something to do. And while film is expensive over time, like, the barrier to entry is pretty low for the quality image you get. So yeah, just seeing how many people kind of picked up our hobby during the lockdowns.
You're a relatively new photographer, and as I said to you before, it's really cool that you started with film. What made you get into film photography? What about film photography really made you tick? You know, like, what did you love about it? And do you still have that same feeling now, or has it grown?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say it's grown now, but I'm also a little bit more jaded. Like, when I get those scans back, like, when I first started, it was like, yes, this image is in focus. You know what I mean? I exposed the film correctly. And that was just so exciting, whether or not my composure was good or the photo had anything to say. You know, I was just happy that I took the picture correctly. And, you know, now after 3 years, that's that doesn't quite cut it, right? Yeah, no, I can say what really excites me about film is, for starters, the end result, especially now with my EM5. So having a competent, you know, mirrorless camera and getting decent images out of that and images that I'm happy with, but thinking, like, I would love this so much more if I took it on 35. And I think, to me, it comes down to just the mechanical aspects of the cameras and the full control of everything. And the best way I can put it really is, like, if I'm out with, I shoot on an Olympus OM one SLR. If I'm out with my Olympus camera and film, I'm operating a contraption to capture actual light and make these photos, as opposed to using a piece of technology. And something about that just gets me really excited about going out and shooting 35.
I'll tell you this right now. I grew up with film. Even when digital came around, I was one of those guys that were like, no, I'm going to stick with my film. And then obviously I had to transition to digital. I still shoot film though, because for me anyways, it does a couple of things. It reminds me of my youth. It reminds me of the time I was growing up when there was no digital. And that's how we saw the world in images and in media. You know, like back in the day, album art was really big, you know, because there was vinyl records, right? You know, a lot of people may not know this. Maybe younger people may not know this from today, but back in the day, a lot of people would buy albums based on the art, not just the music, but even the art. So if the album art was really cool, they would buy it. Because, you know, if you were like me, sometimes I wouldn't buy albums because, you know, I would be like, I only like one or two songs from this artist. I'm not going to go spending the money on a record when I can just open up the radio and record with the tape. That's what I would do, right? That's how we used to do it, because we didn't have the internet. We would just literally turn on the radio, and when the song would play, like when the DJ would play the song, I would literally hit the record button, and that's how I got the song. That's literally how I got it. That was the only way I could get it. There was no internet. And in fact, a lot of my friends would do that too. We'd spend like maybe 4 hours in front of the stereo, and we would just wait for the song to come on. We would hit the record button on the tape cassette player, and that's how we got our music. But anyway, it's kind of funny. I tell my daughters this story and they laugh. They're like, what? That's the way it was.
That's
so
fine.
I mean, bringing this back to photography, I think it's the same thing, right? With cameras, people like shooting film because for you it's a different thing, right? It's not because, you know, it takes you back to your youth because you weren't around, but it draws a sense of nostalgia, a sense of retro, a sense of vintage. It brings out an image in a different way, and I think that's why film is so popular now amongst people in your age group, you know. And I'm talking people in the 19 to 30 range, right? Because let's be honest, you never grew up with that stuff. You didn't know about that stuff. And for you, it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is really cool. This is such a cool look. You know, this is why we call film shooters that are in that age bracket hipsters, right? This is why we have hipsters. And I think that's great because it's done a couple of things. It's brought back film. There's been a film resurgence. And I think that it's helped companies like Kodak keep producing, although their prices have gone a little stupid. Anything analog, frankly, is better in my opinion. But then again, I'm biased, right? Because I'm old. You could say I'm analog.
No, absolutely. And I think paired to me anyway, paired with that vintage aesthetic that film gives you, it's also, and this is only if we can keep it alive, it's also timeless, right? If you look at a photo that you take on, you know, there's a big resurgence of old digicams too, like the early 2000s digicam craze that's going on right now. That, like, you can look at photos that people take with those cameras and they've got a certain aesthetic to them, but you know exactly, like, the era of camera they use. Whereas with film, it's like, you know, I could get an image on my, with good glass, I could get an image on my OM-1 and you don't know if it was taken on an Olympus or a Minolta or, you know, a Leica even. It's that, it's timeless. You don't know when it was taken unless you look into the background.
I think part of the timeless thing comes from the fact that film has been around for over 100 years. Digital does not have that on film. Film has been around for a long time. And that's partly why I think timeless is associated with film too, right? Because it is a medium that's been around forever. Whereas digital, let's be frank, in its current state, digital cameras, when they first came out, were just absolute garbage. In its current state, digital cameras, really, the technology, I would say, has only been around since maybe 2013-ish, something like that, when I would say that the technology started to really, really take off. Prior to that, I always thought digital was crap. Like, they still just didn't do it for me. Maybe 2010, around there, I would say. It's hard to pinpoint, but you know, you get what I'm saying. At the end of the first decade of the millennia, that's partly why I think that word timeless is well suited for film, just because it's been around for so long. How often do you go out and shoot?
Yeah, you know, it really depends on work and, you know, what time I have off and what the light is too. Like, I found my most recent trip to Toronto, actually, got there and the light was crap and I only had, you know, 400 ISO film in my bag. And so I took, you know, 10 photos. But when the light's good and I'm feeling inspired, you know, I try to go out and shoot, you know, 3-4 days a week.
Where would you go?
If I have the day, I'm definitely hopping on a train and coming to Toronto, especially like for shooting street, you just can't beat the, you know, the sheer volume of people, the sheer volume of subjects, right? If I'm less fortunate, Niagara Falls is a good option. You know, I live like 10 minutes away from there. And in the busy season, it's good for shooting street. You know, there's always a lot of people down there, tourists and whatnot. And then downtown St. Catharines a bit too. You know, it's a lot slower shooting street there as opposed to Toronto for sure.
I actually went to Istanbul in Turkey and oh my God, that was like I stepped into a time warp or something. I don't know, but it was like the streets were jammed with people. Jammed. I mean, jammed. It was like a street photographer's dream because not only was there a lot of hustle and bustle, you know, many people, but the characters, the things that you would see, not typical of what you would find here in North America, just really, really cultural. And that's really what I would love to do more of that cultural sort of shooting. Places like, you know, Istanbul, places like China, places like Taiwan, Thailand, Bangkok, all these really cool cities where culture just shocks you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I find too, like, especially as a Canadian going into those places, the things that you're going to capture there would be vastly different, right? Because like the norm in those cultures is going to be so different to you or I, right? And so going and capturing even the most like mundane things, it's exciting again. And I find like you live in around Toronto, correct?
Yeah.
You find you get bored shooting on the streets, like, you know what I mean? You can go any day and take street photography there. And at a certain point, you just kind of run out of inspiration. It's like, oh, the subjects are always changing, right? But the background never does. And that's definitely something I could see becoming an issue in like a year or so time at the rate I'm going, just being bored with where I've been going to shoot.
I think there is some truth in that statement. I mean, that's already happened to me, I'll be honest with you. But I kind of try to tell myself, well, you know what? Try to look at different angles. Try to do different projects. Focus on a different sort of picture, like structure the shot differently. Like I try to mix it up in my approach to the day. You know what I mean? I try to, like when I'm getting bored and when I'm in a funk, I try to mix it up. I'll try to do something that's a little different. And I do that purposely because I don't want to lose the mojo, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Toronto is good enough for a street photographer to do that, to be able to diversify and think differently. Whereas some places you go to could be just, you know, plain boring and no matter what you do in your approach, there's just no subject matter. There's nothing. It's just really difficult. And if you're like me, street photography for me is primarily trying to get a subject in the frame that's human, whether that be one, two, a series of people. That's what I believe street photography is for me in my style of shooting. I mean, some people just go out there and they'll just shoot buildings or cars or people from far away, whereas I like to do it more up in your face and somewhat in your face and maybe always including a person or more in the frame. That's me anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too, it's funny that you described it that way because, I'm going to shoot street, but I'm taking pictures of buildings and like urban landscape and there's people in frame, but they're far away, or I'm using higher than a 50 mil lens is all just like being a budding street photographer. Like for me, that was like, you know, I wanted to go and do that like Joe Greer, like guerrilla style street photography, but that's a lot to just start doing, you know, and it's a little nerve wracking, especially, you know, in a big city like that, and you don't know how people are going to react or if they're going to say anything to you. And so I find, you know, when I was shooting a lot of like, I'll call it urban landscape, it was just me trying to kind of segue into doing street and like building up the courage, we'll call it, to just go around with, you know, a pancake lens and get those really like up close shots.
So ever since you've gotten into street photography, what has inspired you and who has inspired you to do what you're doing?
Definitely looking at photographers that have inspired me. You know, Joe Greer was a big one in the early days. I remember watching his Street Diaries videos with my friend Dylan, and you know, him kind of starting to get me into film photography and street photography. And then on the back of that, you know, just engaging with so many different talented people on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Yeah, I find anywhere I find a photographer with a body of work in street photography, it's inspiring for me to go out and shoot and, you know, kind of earn my keep in the club of street photographers, you know?
I'm going to throw out a little suggestion, and I don't think I've mentioned this ever before on the show, but I could be wrong, but I'm going to give you and the listeners a tip. You know, obviously you haven't been doing this very long. You're relatively, you know, you are a young guy, and maybe some of the listeners are in your age bracket, and maybe some of the listeners aren't. But what I would recommend you do, honestly, is forget YouTube, forget the current photographers for just a moment. Try to go to your library, your local library, or go online, take a look online. Maybe you could find it that way too. But I would get your hands on old photography books. And when I say old, I mean books that were written in the 70s and the 80s. And the reason why I suggest this is because there are things that, I'll be honest with you, as an older photographer, as a person much older than you, there are things that are not discussed in today's, let's say, photography world. You know, amongst the younger shooters, there are a lot of things that are not discussed. It's just because they've never heard of it or they haven't dug deep enough to find out. But there are things that you can learn from old books that you probably would have never thought of if you just kept watching YouTube videos from a person in the same age group as you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It really helps to look at that old stuff. And I mean, yeah, a lot of people will look at artists, like artists that have been around since the 70s, like, you know, Bresson and Bruce Gilden. You can look at their work and you can learn from their readings and their interviews. I think if you just even pick up, honestly, I know this sounds crazy, but you could pick up old literature from companies like Nikon, Canon, Pentax. They used to write marketing information for the customers that would buy their cameras. And you'd be surprised what kind of information you could get from those texts. So I would recommend that to you and to the listeners that fall into the same category as you, you know, a younger shooter. I would call you a hipster. See if you can get your hands on some old material. I would highly suggest you do that. And a lot of it may be repetitive. Like, you know, a lot of it will be most likely repetitive, like things that you've already heard. But trust me, there will be nuggets in that information that you would be scratching your head and say, oh, never thought of that. Even now, because I still try to find old photography books. And when I go through them, I'm like, oh, geez, I never heard of that. Right. And I mean, with the internet and with the you know, with YouTube and all the digital, with all the digital information that we have available now at our fingertips, you would think that you would hear it all. But trust me, we're not hearing it all. There's a lot of stuff that's not talked about or not known. I don't know. But look into that old stuff, and I think you'd be surprised.
You know, there's definitely a wealth of knowledge out there that, you know, will be in those old books and in those libraries and in articles that aren't going to show up on my Facebook or Instagram feed. So I'll definitely look into that. Thank you.
You know, you mentioned what influences you. I'm just curious, when you started, how did you go about learning using a 35 millimeter film camera? Because you did start, I think, backwards. A lot of people that get into street photography, they usually start with a digital camera. It's not very common that someone will start with a film camera. It's more typical that you'll start with a digital. But you started with a film camera, and I'm just curious, how was that process for you, learning a film camera? What was difficult about it? What was amazing about it? What really made you love it? I mean, can you walk me and the listeners through how you first felt and how it went learning the whole process in the early days?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely a lot of trial and error, and I'm sure I wasted a lot of perfectly good film, you know, just not fully having a grasp on, you know, my camera settings and, you know, the way different lights gonna show up on film, like, you know, indoor artificial light versus, you know, being outside in the sun sort of thing. It was a lot of just going out and taking photos and hoping for the best, using the Lightmate app on my phone, you know, getting them back and seeing, you know, okay, I thought I nailed focus here. I just missed it. Maybe if I closed the lens down a bit, you know, I would have gotten that shot, or I metered for the wrong portion of this photo and now the highlights are blown out or something like that, right? It was just a lot of taking in rolls of film and getting, you know, 5 to 10 good photos out of that 36 exposure roll until I could consistently go out and shoot and know that I was actually going to capture what I set out to capture. So if I were to give advice to someone, you know, just starting out fresh now, it's do some research, learn what your different camera settings are going to do, how they're going to affect your photo, and shoot a roll and have it developed. Don't shoot anymore, because the feedback you get from that first roll or those first few rolls is really crucial. And I made that mistake of, you know, getting my camera and I put like 4 rolls through it, and I barely made any worthwhile images, right? Had I done them one at a time and gotten that feedback of, oh, I'm making these mistakes, I'm going to correct them on the next one, I definitely would have, I would have became a competent photographer much quicker.
When you go out shooting, do you prefer to be alone or do you prefer to be in a group? And if you do prefer to be in a group, do you prefer a small group, a large group? And can you tell me and the listeners why?
Yeah, you know what? I've never gone out and done street photography in a larger group. Usually it's just me going out alone, or me going out with my girlfriend, actually. I've kind of indoctrinated her into film and street photography. So, yeah, it's either me going out by myself or her and I going out to Toronto for the day, and, you know, we'll shoot street, grab some lunch, you know, drop off film at the end of the day, and that's about it. I would love to go out and do, you know, a photo walk with a large group of people. I think that would, well, it may affect what's happening in certain scenes. You know, people see a gaggle of photographers walking by, you might not get the same results, you're not going to blend in so much. But I think what you lose there, you'd gain tenfold in confidence, and then two, seeing, you know, how you and other street photographers kind of see and compose things differently as well.
I noticed that your Instagram feed is mostly color. In fact, it's pretty much all color, and I think I only spotted one black and white. Now, are you opposed to black and white? Are you getting into black and white? Because you do have one. What's your take on the two dynamics? Do you, you know, what do you like more? Why do you use color more? Like, maybe you could give me and the listeners some insight.
I think in the beginning it was all color. I didn't really get black and white. You know, I was just, well, why would I only take a black and white image? I can make it black and white later. You know, and I'll definitely say that, pardon me, that's changed now. I found kind of throughout the summer, I was doing a lot of photography, and I found that, you know, I'd pick up certain film stocks and I'd capture things because I'm using a certain film stock. Like, say I'm out with a roll of CineStill, like that's my favorite film right now. So I'm out shooting CineStill, and there's potential for a scene to happen, but there's nothing worthwhile to capture, but the light's pretty, so I waste a frame just because I know it'll look good on CineStill. And I think that black and white is like absolution for that. Like, you're only going out and trying to capture like meaningful and storytelling kind of images. And so I'm finding myself now kind of wanting to reach for more black and white, kind of in lieu of that, to kind of curb leaning on certain film stocks.
How did you train yourself to see life on the street? Or is that something that you really never thought of and you just kind of go out there and shoot from the hip?
Yeah, you know, it's for me, street photography is capturing those moments where, you know, so say you're not a photographer at all and you go for a walk through downtown Toronto. You're going to see some things and they're just going to catch your eye for a second. Like I have a photo on my Instagram of a guy walking outside of Union Station with a gold bejeweled crown on his head. And, you know, if I didn't have that photo, it'd just be a random memory, but I would have thought of it. I would have thought about it on the train ride home. Just been like, "Oh, that was interesting. That was odd." And so for me, seeing life on the street is trying to get ahead of those kind of chance encounters when I can and capture them. There is a bit of shooting from the hip as well for me. You know, it's harder. I shoot predominantly with an SLR, so it's not quite as good as, you know, using a rangefinder and situations like that. But I don't know, I find my best photos are always ones that I take at eye level.
I'm looking at your Instagram feed here, and there's one picture that I really love because I guess the color, I love the pop. It's definitely shot on film. I can see that. And actually, if I look at your description there, the tags, I can see it's a CineStill 800 that you used. But looking at a picture that you posted on December 4th of last year, and it's basically, you're standing in front of the Midway. There's the sign there that says Great Canadian Midway.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit more about this image. You know, where are you exactly? What's the story here? What are you using? What film? Although I kind of preluded to perhaps the answer, but on that one. But if you could talk a little bit more about the image for myself and the listeners.
That's one of my favorite images actually that I've captured. So yeah, that was taken on my Olympus OM-1 with CineStill 800 push to stop, I believe. And yeah, that shoot, I kind of just set out to A, you know, capture the light of all those neon signs on Clifton Hill, and also kind of get in the image as well, like just how barren like all those tourist attractions are during the off season, right? Like I took that photo probably late November. I would have taken that photo, and so it was like the tourist season's is over, and you can see some garbage on the ground in front of the arcade as well, which I really loved. It just kind of goes to show like everyone loves, you know, the falls during the summertime, and then there's so much business there as well, like coming from the hospitality industry, where like in the summertime it's go, it's tourist season, and then things just turning off when the weather gets cold. So yeah, I wanted to set out to A, capture all that gorgeous light, especially on CineStill, and B, kind of show how what was once bustling a few months ago is now, you know, completely not abandoned, but void of people.
I kind of suspected it was Clifton Hill, Niagara Falls, but I wasn't sure because it's been a few years that I've been there. Yeah, that is kind of eerie when you see it like that. you know, the lights are all working, but there's nobody on the streets. And then typically in the summer, you would find those sidewalks absolutely jammed with tourists.
I read, I can't remember where I read this, I wish I could, but I read once that sometimes, you know, street photography is capturing the absence of people. And I think that photo, at least I set out for that photo to be, you know, a prime example of that. Oh, also, you asked about, you know, where I am. I'm in the middle of the street taking that photo.
There's no cars either.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no cars there. That's how dead it is. There's no cars. There's tumbleweeds.
Yeah. Solo cups blowing in the wind.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, so what's one question no one's asked you yet about your work that you wish they would ask?
I would ask what my own favorite photos that I capture are, because I think the things that get the best response on social media and the things that people say like, "Hey, I saw your post, I really liked your photo," are so seldom the photos that I'm really excited about.
I think that often too. You know, I think, well, that's funny, people like this photo more than that photo, but inside my head, I'm like, no, I like this photo better. So it's kind of interesting that you say that, because that, I cannot tell you how many times that's crossed my mind. It's like, what? You like this one better than this one? What are you, crazy? Going forward, what are you hoping to achieve with your journey in photography? I mean, let's be honest, you're a young guy still. Where are you hoping to take your photography? Where do you see yourself in the next 5-10 years of your life with this hobby that you've now really you know, taken a great liking to. And I mean, you've actually, you know, bought a great camera. You bought the OMD EM5, I think you said, right?
Yeah.
I have the Olympus OMD series cameras, but I don't have an EM5. I just have a EM10, and I have the first generation. I have two of them, and that's still what I use for street photography to this day. They work fine. There's no need to change what I'm doing. Where do you hope you'll be 5-10 years from now?
For me right now, it's more about, you know, the pursuit of becoming a better photographer and capturing just more meaningful images right now. And I'm just hoping that'll take me to being a better photographer, to be honest. I'm looking to sell some of my prints soon. I'm fortunate enough that I work at a restaurant. My boss is going to let me put some of my prints up around the restaurant, and they'll be available for sale just right off the wall there, which will be cool. But yeah, I don't know. Right now, I'm just kind of trying to keep it fun, trying to progress without burning myself out, trying to make a living out of it or reach, you know, critical acclaim or any of that.
I'm not about that either. I mean, over the years, I've worked as a wedding photographer. I've done events. So I have done paid gigs as side jobs. But my train of thought was always, I don't want to make what I love a job, because then I'm afraid that I won't love it anymore. You know what I mean? It'll be just work for me.
That's exactly it.
I didn't want to lose my passion. I was afraid that I would lose that passion for photography if it became a job. And so for me, it was the right decision, because I actually love photography more now than I did back in the 80s when I started. And I love seeing all the advancements in technology, you know, all the cool stuff that's coming out. I mean, things that we would have only dreamed of having when I was, you know, first starting out, you know, in the 80s. I just think it's fantastic. I think it's a great time to be a photographer as well, because we have the digital and we have all the latest and the greatest gadgets, but we also have the opportunity of still shooting analog, which I think is a blessing. I think we're so lucky nowadays that we can choose between the two technologies. I'm so glad that analog just didn't die like the dodo bird.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's still people that want to shoot analog. There's people that are discovering analog, case in point you, and it's keeping the stocks alive. You know, Kodak's still producing, Fuji's producing. We've got all these other startup companies that are producing. And I think this is very good for film photography on the whole.
I think too, kind of to play the other side, the barrier to entry on a solid digital camera too, for people who aren't interested in film and, you know, don't want to deal with the hassle of getting it developed and getting your scans and downloading the scans and all the things that you or I don't mind doing because we love film. Someone who doesn't have that passion can get into, you know, a very, very capable digital camera for cheaper than ever now too. Like I bought my EM5 for like $400 off Marketplace, and for the quality image I can get out of that digital camera, it was worth every dollar. It's never been a better time to get into photography, specifically street. I find like digital these days is so far beyond what you need to take good street photos. And so the further we get away from like that, I don't know, what would you call it? Like 16 to 21 megapixel threshold of like, okay, this is a enough resolution digital image for my street photos. You can get into those digital cameras for so much cheaper than it was, say, you know, 6 years ago.
You said you bought your Olympus EM5 for $400. That's that camera, if I'm not mistaken, it's like a $2,000 camera, brand new.
Yeah. Back in 2012, I think it was like $2,100 for the kit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still make that camera. And the current version is still about $2,100. Like you said, it's still up there. It's still not cheap. You're right. You can go on Marketplace. You can go on eBay. Did you get any lenses with that camera?
Yeah, it came with a Lumix, what is it? I think it's a 17-43 mil. And then I ordered the Earth lens adapter for the old OM lenses. So I can adapt the lenses off my SLR, my OM-1, onto the mirrorless camera now as well, which has been a lot of fun.
Now, do you like to shoot with zoom lenses or do you like primes?
Usually I only own primes, short of the lens that came with that EM5, but I try not to think too much about the gear. Like I like to use just a 50 or less just go with that for the day rather than, okay, let's switch out lenses and get different types of shots. I find that kind of just distracts me from, you know, the flow of what's going on in the streets and what I want to capture. If I get too caught up in the gear, then it messes with my photography. I think I lose focus. I'm too concerned about, you know, should I shoot this at a 50 or 100 mil lens or what have you.
Noah, where can our listeners go to see your work and reach out to you if they have any questions?
Yeah, so as of now, all my work's just on my Instagram, which is Noah's Photos, K-N-O-W-A-S, Photos.
Listeners, there'll be a link in the show notes below, so go check them out. Noah, thanks so much for joining me here on the Street Photography Show. I really appreciate your time. I had a lot of fun chatting with you, getting to know you, talking about your work. And listeners, like I said, go check out his work by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Noah, thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mark. It was a genuine pleasure, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.